Okay, everybody, let's welcome Judith. She's going to talk tonight on page 567, the inner resource. Would you like a 5-minute warning?
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, it's all yours.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Judith. I'm a real compulsive eater and a false selfaholic. And yeah, it's been a really good week of experimenting with and kind of having this experiential investigation going on still. I mean, I've been doing it for years now, but I'm really checking out fears and fables. Is this facts about things? Is this a fable? Is it something that's been going on in my head for a long time? I'm checking reality a lot more often. It's all part of my 10th step now. And so these facts and fables are important to me. And this guy, Kurt Z, he said, I'm going to paraphrase him, I'm sure, but I'm no longer afraid of, or I'm no longer suffering from things that aren't happening. And that's really important. And for me, I've always said I'm no longer trying to be someone I never was, because I spent most of my life trying to be someone other than the reality of who I am. And I actually had absolutely no idea who I was, and I found out now a little bit more. So that's good news. So yeah, I just wanted to start on page 567 at the back there. We often don't even bother going there, but it's such a beautiful piece. And it says, the terms spiritual experience or the spiritual awakening are used many times in the book. So it says, how do you know if you've had a spiritual experience? How do I know? Because there's something happened in my personhood that, like, for instance, I just don't take it so personally anymore. I don't personalize everything that's happening in the world. I don't personalize every time you think about me in a bad way, or even if you are thinking about me in a bad way. That's a kind of a shift that's happening in me. Plus, I find myself being more tolerant and kind, very much more loving, much more compassionate. Even if I can't tolerate someone, I have compassion for them. There's a lot of people in the world I can't really tolerate, but I actually have new compassion for them because I see them to be who they, are suffering from thinking that they are all that that they think they are. And it says that it will be sufficient enough to bring about recovery. So have I recovered? I actually do think that something is covering me now. And the I that I have thought I was periodically steps out, and maybe about 60, 70% of the time, I actually experience the cover. I'm being covered. It's just as simple as that. Something's got my ass, and it's got my body, and it's got my mind, and it's got the world, and it's got you, and it's got everything, and it's covering me. And I just love it. Because I had suffered most of my life in following the book, it says from alcoholism, in my case, just from ism. I self me, I can't stand myself, all kinds of things like that. And it says that I can't stand myself, I self me. It's been it, that. Hold on, I've been saying that was me. That self itself manifested in multiple ways. And I've always said that was me. And I'm understanding now, like step one, I'm absolutely powerless over that. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know when I'm going to think it's real. I don't remember when I'm making up stories about it. And it's going to come out in different forms and shapes. And usually it comes out with who I think I am and what I think I better know and how I better do this and do it right now. These are key elements of mine. So I'm looking for, and I have been looking, and I'm experiencing some kind of change in this experience of this being Judith, this person. I've changed, and because I've had what it says here, personality changes or religious experiences. They were not talking about, by the way, if you go back and read all of Bill's stories, and I've been listening to a ton of the grapevine when he was really talking about the where the essence came from. For these 12 steps, they came from very, very ancient traditions. When they say religious, they mean following. That's what the word religion means, to follow. So I've been following this book and I've been having some experiences. And finally, just in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, they've been drastically different because, and they haven't come in sudden spurts. No, they're coming sort of slowly and they're subtle. They're transforming me. They're transforming that which I thought I was into that which I actually am. So that fable is not necessarily fact. And there are plenty of facts that happen. There's some traumatic facts that happen, like many of us, but there's also some fables, some stories that I added to that. And those have undergone, at the bottom, it says, undergone a profound alteration. I'm starting to find facts, face facts, and I'm living a lot more fearlessly. And it's a glorious and beautiful thing, I must say. And down at the bottom, it says, because they have tapped, when you tap something, it free flows. I've tapped it now. It's coming a lot more often on its own without force and effort on my part. I put in my book, it's free flowing unsuspectedly because usually I was so busy in my head trying to know everything. And it's coming from the inside, like an inside resource. So I broke that word down, and this book is just packed with stuff. I broke it down into resource. So if something is re, it means like again. To rebuild, to replay, to rewind, to rewrite. I wrote in my book, or to, it says, like, re is to go back through, or go back, or recall, or recede, or return. So I've been returned and rewound so I can get the facts right about who I am. And it's very unsuspected. I'm not a better Judith, a better human, a better this and that. Because it kept saying there's a power greater than me, and it is everything or nothing. It's either everything or nothing. I had to investigate this because I was concerned, because I thought it was me and that, me and something greater than me. But that would mean, I'm not part of the everything then, and I want to be part of the other thing. So that's what the investigation's been about for me. And there's become a real new awareness of something that is going on. That is also holding me. I'm like a painting on a canvas, writing on a book, a piece of paper. I'm like the film on the background of the screen. So I wanted to understand that. And so I investigated it as much as I could by being as honest as I could, as open-minded and as willing as I can to face things, including what I see as probably one of the worst things is fear. It riddles us, or it's absolutely killing us. And I don't think I ever would have overate or overdid or over anything, oversexed, overdrank, overdid. I wouldn't have if I wasn't afraid. I would have done like my friends do and just go, oh, well, there it is, off you go. You know, I had some sarcastic comment about it or whatever. No, I used to personalize it until it felt like death. And usually it would, go down a particular track. So in BBA, we go through this phenomenal track where we say, okay, I'm afraid of being something because I'm afraid of being something because I'm afraid of being. I'm not afraid of doing. I can do a lot of things about my fear, but I can get very terrified when I fear, let's say, being unacceptable, inappropriate, because then I fear rejection, because then I fear being alone. So if you can think of, I was going to do a little something different tonight because you'll hear me jabber on all the time. So it's like, if you can think for a second, we'll do a little experiential investigation of reality together. If you can think of the worst fear you had this week, any fear, and where it started to trail, fear of something that became your fear of being this, and then your fear of being that, and then your fear of being this, fear. I usually end up fear of being alone. And it's like, oh God. So what I want us to experiment right now is take that, right? I'm going to take alone because it's usually the one right before death. Yeah. So it's like, I'm going to take fear of being alone. And I just want to encourage us to not reject it, but bring it closer until we really feel it, like bring it closer. And that's what my mind wants usually. It wants me to have an argument with it or something. No, I just want to bring it closer. Until it feels like it's me. I'm going to be alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. Ah, and then who knows what's going to happen next, right? I'm going to need a big dose of something. But if I don't, my body will flood with chemicals, opioids, cortisol, adrenaline. It's going to go for everything. And when it does that, my mind's going to get in on the party. So I want us to experience. Maybe a fear you had this week and really feel it right now. You might need to use your imagination until it comes so close, so close, so close. And then you can actually feel it in your body. It changes the chemistry and all of that. That's why I used to overeat, because I really wanted to change my chemistry because I couldn't stand the experience of what was going on. But let's investigate it more, right? And I think that's what the 12 steps are about anyway. They're telling us investigate. So I want to investigate the facts of the alone. So I'm going to go back to the moment when I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to fear being alone. And I need to ask myself, was I actually alone? Because I need to change. It says face the facts, find the facts, and then live fearlessly. So I want to face the facts. Was I actually alone? Were you actually alone? If your greatest fear this week was alone, were you actually alone? Like, really, when the whole sense of the whole world's finished, the people have disappeared, nothing's ever going to happen, we're alone, and it's just before we die, because we usually end up there. When I face the facts, I find I wasn't alone. No, that is actually not happening. I was just having a body and mind sensation, or a mind thought and a body sensation. So if I wasn't alone and at the point of death, okay, let me see what other facts were then. Did I survive? Well, obviously, yes, because I'm here. I survived. I wasn't alone, and I'm not alone now. So it didn't actually happen. It was just a feeling and a thought. And then, am I like alone right now? No. Okay, I'm not alone right now. Okay, so let me just check something. I thought I was going to die from fearing being alone because I was fearing some unacceptability because of something I had to stand up for this week, actually, regarding some of this house I'm building somewhere else in another country. And I thought, oh, and it always feels like death. But actually, I didn't die and I wasn't alone and nothing really happened. But I've got to ask myself this: what the heck got me through it? Because I didn't overeat. I didn't overdo, I didn't over this, and I didn't overthink. What got me through it? I must investigate. There had to be an inner resource that eventually said, let's just get on with the washing up, or something happened, because I can't even remember exactly when I felt that fear. If you felt a fear in your life, ask yourself, go back. Let's try one that happened 6 years ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago. I pull it in close. I check the facts. Did I die from the fear? No. Was I completely rejected? No. The whole world didn't reject me. My friend didn't even reject me. I pull it in. I check the facts. But what got me in to being right there in the moment, in that moment, or even in this moment when fear rises and I still make it through? What the heck's going on? It's got to be something that I don't always know is there. It's got to be coming from the inside, because my whole system finally calms down. And it's some kind of redo. It does a redo. It does a remake. It does a replay. It just sauces me with something different than just my mind and body. Body sensation, mind. It doesn't matter which one comes first. Sometimes I flood first in the body and then the mind chases. Or sometimes the mind happens and the body starts getting all excited and nervous and terrified. But guess what? Not a single one of my real fears have ever come true, because most of my fears are not real. They just feel so real, they feel like they're me. Judith alone, Judith rejected, Judith on this, Judith not that, Judith not gonna. And it's like, wow, something gets me through every single time. I'm excited about this stuff, guys. Like, I am excited because. Is it possible I was just telling myself a story about who I am? But there is something greater than I am, or the greater I am is greater than that which I've been thinking I am, this, that's absolutely managing us. And let me try this one. When I was absolutely terrified the day I picked up an entire cheesecake followed by a fucking chocolate gâteau, and I started to shove it in and shove it in and shove it in, and I'm not a barfer, so I didn't get to puke it up. I just kept shoving, and I was shoving it on top of 5 stone for English and 70 pounds for the non-English, shoving it in, and my pancreas didn't explode at night. I am telling you, there was an inner resource that managed my being okay, even while I was under the influence. Even while I was under the influence, something that was unsuspected took care of me. It is here, it was then, it is now. So now let's just check the next moment. Is it here now? I think it is. Is it here now? Like this moment? I'm experiencing it. I'm excited about these matters, and I'm not excited that much about my fear or whether they are going to rip me off in Cyprus or this or that. I'm just not excited about that, but I'm really excited about this. I'm in love with this. I'm in love with it. It's like, it's my new fear exercise for sure. But it's like this desire to see reality, which is happening only right now. It's
Five
like,
more.
thanks. It's like reality is happening now. And there is something greater than me, a greater power that has power, choice, and control. Because I have none when fear is on. I have none when I am gobbling down more food than I need or crazy foods that'll kill me in the night. There's a power greater than me in this moment happening. It's happening and it's like so exciting, so delicious. And it's only happening right now. Like right now, and then right now, it's happening again. It has power, choice, and control, obviously. And it's keeping this mind and this body here for this moment. I don't know about the next moment. I might have a heart attack. I don't know. Hope not. But you know what I mean? It could happen, but I'm not afraid anymore. Because I'm only being right now, and this power is happening right now. And it loves being me right now. Because if God is everything, it's gotta be me. And I was so convinced I was separate, trying to find and chase and have access to, when actually, it's been doing the job all along. It's been doing the job all along. I'm excited about this. Because it frees up a lot now. So the book said, face the facts, but find the facts. Find the facts, face the facts, and live fearlessly, just less fearfully as a human conditioned body and mind called Judith, this living experience, this condition. And there's a better way. Like it is the book, all the, you know, all the slogans they used to put out at meetings, make lighter going of it. This is very heavy going. Like, it's like absolutely one moment at a time, one day at a time. It's like, oh yeah, no, I get it, you know, because I can't even remember what I was terrified of yesterday's being. I don't even remember all the fears I had yesterday. But something was holding me then. Was it holding you then? What was holding you when you were barfing out? What was holding you when you were in the gutter drunk? What was holding you when you lied to your spouse again about going to the library and having another drink? What was holding you when you went off and gambled away your last penny, even though your kids were hungry? What was holding you to bring you back and bring you back to here and bring you back now? And it just keeps redoing the gloriousness of its experience through us. No matter how bad it got, and no matter how better it gets, I don't know, something's going on here. And it has choice, power, and control. So I don't need any choice, power, and control. I don't need to really know much of anything. And I gotta say that I am no one and nothing because there's only one thing, one everything. And I'm feeling a lot more better about that now. I'm laughing because I just mistook who I was. I mistook myself for some personalized identification I had with my thoughts and feelings. And that is not to negate what happened to me as a child, or what happened to you as a child, or what happened to us as a child. No. But I got the wrong end of that stick in the end. The stick, well, physically didn't hit me, but something hit me. As Dr. Harry Thibault says, right opposite on page 569, he's very clear about that. The patient's inner resistance goes down and we flower. And it's just, yeah, okay, but now, there's something else going on. And every time I've ever had a fear, it got me out of there and put me here again. I'm excited about that. So I hope you got something from it. Maybe, maybe not. Feel free to talk about your own unsuspected inner resource. that you found in these steps and this program. Thanks.